Well, fucking well. You see the name of the ep, pretty straightforward. Guess who's fucking back? Year 3, I believe, of Sports Mask Collective, episode 50. Wow, many other sports podcasts haven't reached that, even though they do it year-round. My God, welcome back, everyone. The number one podcast in sports comedy podcasting. The only one hosted by a former All-American athlete, as far as I know, in this category. That's how you know, you know, because I've been to the top of the, as we've covered in the past, I've been to the top of the mountain. A lot of these guys doing these other sports podcasts haven't achieved anything with their life, much less have they achieved anything in the sports arena. Unlike me, All-American lacrosse player, basketball playground legend, pickup running back legend, Jim Stansel here at your fucking service. Good to be back. Episode 50. Week 1 of the NFL year in the year of our Lord 2023, starting tonight. The Chiefs play the Detroit Lions this evening. We're going to get, as we do, I'm going to pick all the games. We're going to pick all the games. We're going to go around the league. That's all coming. Sit your tight little ass down and calm down and wait. We're going to get to all that. But we have to do a few things first. This is solo. I haven't done an ep in so long. I didn't want to bother with a guest because I have too much shit I want to say. And I just like hearing myself talk. So I don't want to be bothered with a bumbling guest getting in my way. Obviously, we're going to get to the football. But I have to start. I'd be remiss. And yes, I'm wearing the 45 in honor of the Sports Mask comeback, of course. And yes, I bought this jersey in sixth grade, and it still fits. So what? And yes, it's a youth extra large. Like to see you fat fucks fit in something you got in sixth grade. I'm just kidding. I love you all. Yeah, I'm back. Probably 20 pounds down from when you last saw me. I'm playing basketball again. I played lacrosse this spring, dusting it off. Put on an absolute clinic in my high school alumni game. People still talk about what I did. A 37-year-old playing all 60 minutes, putting on a show. But that's neither here nor there. Let's start with the Mets. Let's do a little post-mortem because this season has been over since before the All-Star break. I hate to say, well, I don't hate to say it. You hate to hear it, but I'm going to say it anyway. What was I right again, or was I right again, folks? If you're a loyal listener and you watched episode 49, which was back in, hold on. Forgot my Jets hat. This is a sports show. We'll get to the fucking Jets. I said it in the last episode 49. It was during the Mets. The Mets had just signed Verlander and Scherzer. And I told you then, I told you exactly what was going to happen. And let it be a lesson for things to come. Make sure you listen to what the fuck I say. Because I'm not doing this for fun. I was, as the great Bane from Batman said, I was born in this and molded by it. I'm a sports boy, okay? I've always had my ear to the pulse or ear to the ground or my dick somewhere around sports. I grew up on Mike and the Mad Dog. On that note, anybody wants to, I'll check the comments intermittently. We'll treat them like calls. I'll answer any sports questions, throw them in the chat. I mean, if you're listening later, next time we go live, get in the chat, and I will answer all sports questions as an ode to the great Mike and the Mad Dog. anyway, yes, I told folks, I hate to say it, I told you exactly what was going to happen this Mets season. Stansel Stradamus strikes yet again, this time in the sports arena. What did I tell you? And if I had the a producer or any kind of technological acumen, I would find a way to pull up the clip myself. But I told you, Verlander, Cy Young last year, the guy's, what is he, 40, over 40, had an outlier of a year. I told you he wasn't going to last the year. He didn't. Scherzer, same thing. Told you he wasn't going to last the year. He not only did either of them not last the year because of injuries, they're not even on the team anymore. Neither of them are even on the Mets. What a waste of a signing, as I told you then, and as I'm taking credit for now. I told you then, you don't sign old fucking arms. You just don't do it, especially when you have a young team. Sign more bats, like I fucking said then, and I'll say it a fucking again. It's a fucking hitter's league, the MLB. Sign some fucking bats. Instead, we sign these two fucking old bags in Scherzer and Verlander. And what happened was exactly what I said happened was going to happen. Fucking Christ. Why can I see this shit and people that make millions, close to billions of dollars doing this for a living don't get it? I don't understand it. I truly don't understand it. Both guys, 40 or near 40, you're giving them these contracts. What the fuck did you think was going to happen? Unfucking believable. But yet totally believable. Pete Alonso is approaching Jake. And thankfully for Jake, we got him off the team. Good for him. And poor Pete Alonso. Another, what is it, 330 home run seasons in a row now, something like that. He's going to go down like Jake DeGrom, where he wastes all of his best years on our shitty Mets organization, where they do just enough to try to sell tickets and just enough to get all the mongoloid fans hyped in the offseason. But when shit comes down to it on the field, it's all a waste of fucking time. So I want to apologize to Pete Alonso for being on the Mets. I love you. You're the best thing that's happened to us. I hope we get rid of Pete for it. Just like I always said with DeGrom for years, how he's wasting all his best years on the Mets. I hope for Pete's sake, no pun intended, that he gets traded or we let him go somehow. Because he's too good to be wasted in fucking Queens with this clown organization where no matter who the manager is, by the way, Buck Showalter, similar to Bill Belichick up in New England, showing he's mortal. And when he doesn't have the tools, he can't do anything. Also did a shit job, Buck. Sorry. But yeah, I hope for Pete's sake he gets traded or leaves the team. Just like I wished for Jake for years. Again, I was right about that. Wasting all the best years of his life playing for a shit organization of the Mets. And I can say that I'm born since birth. I've been a Mets and Jets fan. As I've said a million times, that both organizations have ruined my life. Things would have been a lot better for me, I feel like, if I wasn't a Mets and Jets fan. Perhaps I wouldn't even be living in a garage. Perhaps I would still have a house and a wife. But that all went out the window when my father made me a Mets and Jets fan. So, yes, I was right about the shitty, how they should have never signed these two old bag starters in Scherzer and Verlander. I called it. They always have the hot start. Everybody gets their boners, and then they totally blow it in the second half. This year, although they didn't do one thing, to be fair, I usually call they go on a run after the All-Star break to make people think they have a chance before they blow it. This year, they didn't even do that. They just pitifully wasted away. Another waste of a summer. Another waste. This is, I don't know how many years now, since 2015, basically. If you're a diehard Mets fan, your years have been wasted. Absolute another way. The years just keep slipping away. The years keep slipping away. I'm going to be 38 by the time next baseball season starts. I've never seen a championship. Technically, I was like 10 months old when the Mets won their first championship. Obviously, we're not counting that. Just another wasted year of my sports life, being a, of my baseball fandom, being a Mets fan. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. I didn't even make it to a game this year. Didn't even make it to a Mets game this year. Why? Why waste my time? Why waste my time? Beginning of the year, they were selling a bunch of tickets and prices were high because everybody was on their joss because we signed these two old bags. And, oh, Pete Alonso and, oh, Lindor. Great. Wasted again. And now there's just no reason to go. Maybe I'll get to one before the... This would be the first year, maybe of my life, and I'm not exaggerating. I think this would be the first year of my life that I didn't go to a Mets game. I used to go to upwards of 15 games a year back in the day when they had the Pepsi picnic area, when you used to be able to bring any Pepsi bottle or can and get in free. We used to go every Wednesday. My picture was in the New York Post season wrap-up. We brought our Believe sign every week. Yeah, I used to go to upwards of 15, 20 games a year. You name any big Mets moment, I was in the stadium for it. The Agbayani home run, clinching the division 2015 or whatever, 2000, early 2010, whatever year that was when they hadn't won the division in forever. I was there. I was there for the Mercury Mets where the umpires couldn't stop laughing. I was there for the last game played at Shea Stadium. I was there for David Wright's first game as a Met. I can go on and on. Name a Mets moment. I was in the stadium for it. I was at their first World Series game against the Yankees where Jeter led off with a home run. I was there at Shea. Yeah, I can go on and on, but who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? 37 years wasted cheering for this fucking team. This is not some hodunk team in the Midwest. This is a New York team pathetically wasting away, just letting years slip away. And another one in the books, 2023, another wasted, pointless year for the New York Mets. So... that's it. That's it for the Mets. Period. Stop. Let's move on. Let's move on. We'll talk more baseball in the coming weeks as the playoffs start ramping up. But today I just had to recount the Mets season. Totally pathetic. But no surprise. I keep saying unbelievable. It's not. It's the same every year. Management can change. Coaches can change. But I don't know how it happens. It's just the same fucking thing every fucking year. And before I wrap up, because I want to say this again, people don't believe me. Cowbell Man, if you've been to Shea or City, you know who Cowbell Man is. If you watch enough games, they show him on TV. Cowbell Man is a fucking jinx. We haven't won a single thing since he's been a Met, since he's been in the stadiums. I want him out. I want a movement to get Cowbell Man as persona non grata for the Mets. Stop supporting him. Stop cheering for him. He's the biggest jinx in the Mets organization besides the players and front office. I want Cowbell Man fucking out. All right? Enough. Enough of the 7-line, too. How embarrassing the 7-line is. They just cheer and cheer. Yeah, they said all year how great we were going to be and how excited they were about Scherzer and Verlander. I told you what was going to happen. You're optimistic for no reason. Real Mets fans know not to be optimistic. The shoe always drops with the Mets. Anyway, that's enough. Are we all on the same page? We all know I was right, right? Thank you. Oh, God. Yeah, let's get on to the football. Let's get on with our lives. By the way, new for this year. We didn't have it last year. Super Chats. Some people may not watch all the other asinine shows we do. Super Chats, if you watch live. So, again, people are listening or watching later. If you watch live, you can throw me a few shekels. And I actually haven't looked. And I will... you could pay to have your super chats up there. It's really just donating to the show. How I'm going to do it, if you super chat, since this is, like I say, I grew up on Mike and the Mad Dog with callers. So this should be ideally an interactive show. I know I'm going up against like 9 shows today, so I don't really give a fuck. And I got enough I want to talk about, so I also don't really give a fuck. No offense about anybody in the comments. But no. That said, so I think how it's going to work, super chats, any questions, I'll answer immediately. Regular chats, I will get to everything intermittently as I see fit. But if you super chat, you'll go up immediately, and I'll answer it on the spot. Otherwise, keep commenting, and I'll get to them intermittently throughout the show. That's how we're going to do it this year, since the Ski Mask Media Network has grown, and now we can accept things like Super Chat. All right, let's get to the New York Football Jets, ladies and gentlemen. All the hype in the world, obviously. I'm not even going to bother getting into all the ins and outs because I know it's been beat over the head. If you watch anything on ESPN or any of these other shows, they've beaten to death. Oh, Aaron Rodgers and Elijah Moore and the best defense in the league, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we get it. I get it. And I'm not saying it's wrong. Let me start with this before I get into a couple issues I have with the Jets. Let's start with the pros first. And I watched all of the Hard Knocks, even the newest one. I'll touch on that as well in a minute. I am cautiously, obviously, as a Mets and Jets fan, cautiously optimistic. Because I'm not going to just sit here and like, oh, they're going to suck. Again, I just tell the truth. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, they're going to suck just to say they're going to suck. That's hack. Okay? I told you last year they're going to suck because Zach Wilson wasn't an NFL quarterback. Bang, Saints with Stradamus. Absolutely right again, by the way. But that was covered in last season's Sports Mask, that how right I was about that. Told you should have never drafted him, and I told you he'll never be an NFL quarterback. Stack Zach Wilson is a career backup and will never have a starting spot on a roster unless somebody's injured. He proved that. Too small, too dumb, too Catholic, mom's too hot. So I told you last year, but I was not optimistic for a reason because I knew the guy stunk. Okay. Listen, here we are. This is Stancil stuff, not anybody's other opinions. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. If/when Breece Hall comes back healthy, in my opinion, before he got injured last year, he was top of the league running back. And I don't say that. I say that as unbiasedly as I can. He looked fucking great. Could catch out of the backfield, look great running it. If he comes back as good as he looked last year, I think we have a top five, and I'm not saying that lightly. We have a top five in the league running back in Breece Hall. Elijah Moore, it will be a career all-pro receiver. He's got the tools, he's got the length, and he's got the confidence. As I said, Aaron Rodgers goes without saying. The thing I'm most excited about, if you know me, All-American defender for lacrosse, I'll take it to my grave. Defenses win. In the long run, defenses win. And I think we have the best defense in the league. Period. Stop. Rack me. The New York Jets have the best defense in the league, the best young cornerback in Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, the best was he tackle, DN, whatever. The best D lineman in the league. Rack me, take that to the bank. All pro for sure. And we got some other leaders on there. You know me, I can't remember shit. What's a linebacker? Bigsby, Mosley, great leader. And we have some young guys who are hungry. I'm not going to get into specifics because it's not that kind of show. Frankly, I don't give a fuck. It's a comedy sports show, and I'm an All-American. I don't have to explain myself. But and you saw it last year. We have the best defense in the league. Where I'm going with this, we have a Hall of Fame quarterback, top three running back, top five running back in the league in Breece Hall if he's healthy, maybe top three. I didn't even mention Dalvin Cook, who he signed as a backup if Breece Hall isn't to full strength. Dalvin Cook coming out of the backfield catching balls. Elijah Moore, wide receiver. We got Lazard, one of Rodgers' boys from Green Bay, wide receiver. He's not too old. And then we have Randall Cobb, who is old, but it's been playing with Rodgers literally his whole career. There's no substitute for chemistry there. And take my word for it, I think we have the best defense in the league. Period. Stop. I'm not mincing words. So listen, yes, on paper, all things go as they go. Absolutely in the running to win a division, which is saying a lot because the Bills are in our division, the Dolphins are in our division, Patriots. I'll get to them when we get to the picks probably, but boy, oh boy, did Tom Brady prove it was him and not Bill Belichick, huh? All these mass holes. Bill Belichick is a genius. Yeah, it's funny what happens when a Hall of Fame quarterback leaves your team, huh? Yeah, right. Old cheating Bill Belichick. Looks like he's human after all. Can't just win with normal guys. Oh, Belichick's a genius, bro. Yeah, I can't do it. Who cares about Boston accents? But you know what I mean. So I don't have to worry about the Pats because they're embarrassing themselves year after year since Brady left. So is Belichick proving that he cheated, although not only cheated all those years, but had a Hall of Fame quarterback making him look good. So bye, Patriots. Bye, Patriots lawyers. Bye. Listen, yes, so absolutely, they deserve to be in the Super Bowl contender ranking conversation. There's no reason for them not to be. That shouldn't be homer talk for all the reasons I just listed. They are absolutely a Super Bowl contender. They are absolutely can beat everyone in the league, no team excluded. I know all the teams in the league. They can absolutely, I'm telling you, I watched all the games. I watch all the Jets games all the time. All right, it's easy. It's 3 hours out of your day, and I usually watch on delay so I can skip all the commercials, which is totally ridiculous. I mean, that's a whole other story. The NFL knows what they're doing. Don't get me wrong about making money, but good Lord, the commercials. So I on Sundays I don't even start watching the NFL usually till 2:30 because I record it. Watch it on delay. There's a little pro tip for you. If you start watching the games around 2:30, usually you can get to the four, at least get to the 4 o'clock games without running into a commercial. And then you got to deal with it for the 4 o'clock games. So there's a little pro tip for everybody out there. Watch the 1 o'clock games on an hour and a half delay. You'll be able to watch the 1 o'clock games till four without commercial interruption. And don't be a sheep. Just don't check your fantasy. Don't check your chats until you caught up in the game. It's not that hard. Just don't be a sheep. Put your phone down for a minute. You're fast forwarding the commercials. You're watching constant action. You don't need your fucking phone, you fucking sheep. Fuck the screens. Anywho, back to the Jets. Super Bowl contender. Now, I told you I'd get to the other side of all this, didn't I? And you know me. I'll get there. Look at this little, I like this hat tipping over. That's funny. This is an original hat, by the way, not a remake. This is from the early 90s when they still had this logo. Both the shirt and this hat from the early 90s. I'm the real article, folks. Couple things with the Jets. Let's start off with the obvious, at least for me, and I've said this to any person I've talked to. Here's what's going to happen with the Jets. It's either going to be week 2 or it's going to be week 15 or 16. It's going to be one or the other. Watch. Aaron Rodgers will go down with a season-ending and possibly career-ending injury. Rack me, Stancil Stradamus, count it, any other hack things you want to say after you say something hyperbolic. Aaron Rodgers will go down for the season sometime in the first 4 weeks or sometime in the last 4 weeks because that's classic Jets because it's classic Jets. I'm telling you, I don't want it to happen, but just watch. I'll just leave it at that. Just watch. Trust me. Similar to I started the show talking about signing Scherzer and Verlander on the Mets and how I knew that was going to fail miserably because they're old bags. There's no escape in old father time, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately. And I hate to say it, Rodgers is due, and it'd be in perfect Jets form, wouldn't it, folks, for him to go down. I hate to say it, but I see it coming. I hope they prove me wrong, and I can't wait to tell you I'm wrong. And when we're in the playoffs and everything went to plan and nobody was injured, but I'm fucking telling you, Aaron Rodgers will go down with a career season-ending injury at some point during the season. Count it, rack me, take it to the bank, Stancil Stradamus. Prophecies aside, I did watch Hard Knocks. It did get me excited in many ways. And again, nothing I didn't know. If you're a real sports fan, if you're a real Jets fan, you kind of know what's going on. So, yes, many reasons to be excited. They look good on Hard Knocks. I like the chemistry. But here we go. But I do have some critiques. I have a few critiques. The first one is just a general critique. This is not Jet specifically. But watching Hard Knocks, you realize, which is when you think about it, is not a mystery. You realize all these guys basically stop maturing in middle school. And they have the personalities and IQ of middle schoolers. They're all so immature. They have all these handshakes. It's all this extracurricular bullshit. Especially nowadays, it's all these dances and bullshit. Get fucking mean and rip someone's fucking head off. Even your own teammates. Everything is a competition. Take it from me, an all-American athlete. Everything has to be a competition. You have to want to bury not only your opponents, but your own teammates. You got to want it. You got to want to be the best person on the field. And it's all this happy horse shit. With the Jets were on Hard Knocks, but you've seen it in years past. And you start realize, at least for me, you realize, oh, these guys are all like kids. And then you think more about it, and you realize it makes sense. Because keep in mind, I think a lot of us forget, all these guys you see, all these guys in the pro leagues, have been the best player on all their teams since they were kids. Right? Let's do it in chronological order, right? So all these guys on every pro sport, obviously we're talking about the NFL here, have been the best player on their team their whole life. Think about that. So it does make sense when you think about it that they really, no wonder they have the personalities and IQ of middle schoolers, because that's the last time they ever had to do anything, right? I mean, come on, we all know, and I'm not saying they don't deserve it. We all know these guys get pushed through high schools and colleges because of their skill. It's America. That's common sense. It is what it is. I'm not saying it's wrong or it's right, but that's just fact. All these guys get pushed through. So they never really... Yes, I understand their upbringing. A lot of these guys had hard childhoods. But once you get to the high school level and you're the best person on the team and you're getting recruited by these D1 colleges, all that shit's out the window. Sorry. Oh, I know you want everybody likes to have all their little sob stories, how poor they grew up and how hard they had it. You know... I would much rather have it hard as a kid and easy as an adult. I think just about everybody would sign up for that. So, hey, NFL, hey, all pro athletes. Hey, try being in your 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, and having to worry about inflation and earning a paycheck and paying rent or paying your mortgage or paying bills. Okay, let me get beat by my grandma. Let my dad put cigarette burns out on my arms my whole childhood. I don't give a fuck. If it makes me a pro athlete and you have from 20 till you're dead to be a millionaire, sign me up. Sign me up for child abuse. Sign me up for living on the street. Sign me up for wearing the same clothes all year. Oh, I had it so hard. You got pushed through high school. You got all the pussy in the world in college, and you got a multi-million dollar contract as an early 20-year-old out of that. I'm tired of fucking hearing about these fucking sob stories from these spoiled brats who have had it easy since they were 15 only because they can throw a football or make a basket or catch a ball or what have you. Okay? So spare me. So back to my original point, which is why I'm right. It makes sense these guys have the personalities and IQ of middle schoolers, because that's the last time they ever had to actually be a real person. And it's just all downhill for these guys after that. I'm going to get away from the Jets for a second, just because that leads very well into, I want to, the point about these running backs asking for more money, it's on this a similar token. I'm not going to say the same token as all that. Running backs, and I know you all watch the show. I know you all watch the show. All right. Hi, Christian McCaffrey. Okay. Hi, Christian McCaffrey's lawyers. Hi, Nick Chubb. Hi, Chubb's lawyers. They all watch the show. This is low. They'll never admit it, but all these running backs watch the show. They know this is where they come for the truth, because none of these other networks are allowed to say it. Running backs, I know you're all watching. You don't, there's all this talk. If you don't know, in short, running backs across the league are saying they are getting snubbed for their contracts. They deserve more money, yada, yada, yada. They're all getting together, holding out. Hey, running backs, have you watched a football game in the last, I don't know, decade? At least 5 years, probably more like a decade. Probably more like 15 years. What am I going to say, folks? Say it with me. It's a passing league. It's a passing league. The days of ground and pound and 90s and early 2000s football are long dead. The running backs are a secondary tool on all these teams. There's some guys who are great out of the backfield, but again, that's catching a football. That's receiving. Okay? The game has changed. And like I said at the top of the show, I'm a backyard football running back legend around these parts. One of the greatest to ever do it. Pad free. We had full 11-on-11 games, and just unbelievable what I used to do. They used to call me the bus. So I basically played in the NFL. And I can tell you, I'm sorry, but the game has changed. It's not the same game. It's all passing. It's all quarterback. It's high scoring. Running games are just there to be a complement to the passing game. The days of running games being at the forefront of a game plan have been over for a long while. So why do these running backs think that they deserve more money? They're going to tell you, oh, because we get injured more often, et cetera, et cetera. You can say that about any fucking position in the NFL. Give me a break. It's a contact sport. And again, it doesn't matter. If you were that important, it's simple. It's capitalism. It's America, God damn it. If you were that important to these teams, you would be getting the wide receiver contracts. You would be getting the quarterback contracts. This is one place, and I like it in many places. That sounded weird. This is why capitalism is great. The market dictates itself. If they really needed you, you'd get more money. Running backs, you don't deserve more money in today's NFL. Sorry. That's the way it is. I wish you did. I'm old school. I love ground and pound. I hope the Jets get back to that this year, because we have the best defense in the league and two of the best running backs in the league, Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook. But that's just not what the league is. Shut the fuck up and play football. I'm so sick of it. Back to my point that led me into this. These big babies who haven't had a hard day's work since they were 15, or a hard day in their lives since they were 15, complaining about millions of dollars, and they're already making millions. And I get it. It's all relative. The guy next to you is making money. My point is, nobody has the class anymore to step back and take a little less and understand the league has changed and the contracts have changed. Oh, God. So that's my stance on the running back contract. Sorry, guys. Earn it. There's a novel idea. A crazy, crazy idea in today's America. Earn your fucking money. Hi, teachers. Hi, teachers, lawyers. Complaining about everything you do, and we got to deal with it. You chose to be a fucking teacher. You work barely 5 days a week. I talked about on Ski Mask Collective earlier today. It's 12:30 today. I see kids walking the streets. Labor Day was Monday. It's a four-day week already. And these teachers are having four-hour work days after they already had 3 months off. Give me a fucking break with these fucking teachers asking for more money. You work 8 months a year and get a full salary and still complain about wanting more money. Sorry, I digress, but anytime teachers are brought up, I will not stop banging the drum. We need to band together and make teachers understand they have a fake job. They're glorified camp counselors. They're not even allowed to discipline kids in today's day and age. At least when we were kids and everybody younger than me, teachers could fucking... I had teachers that threw me across the room, call the principal, throw you out of class, take your phone. You're not allowed to use your phone. My sister's a teacher, so it's not like I don't know what's going on. These kids have free reign to use their phone whenever they want. They can't give detentions anymore because the kids won't show up, and then their parents will bitch and complain. And they're so all these teachers and educators are so fucking spineless and pussified now that nobody can push back against anything. So fuck teachers, fake job, glorified camp counselor. Rack me, clip it, tweet it. Let's start a movement. Let's get teachers. Here's the end game. Here's the fucking end game. And I know I'm talking about teachers on a sports show. I don't give a fuck. It's a comedy show. It's a sports, the best sports comedy podcast in America. Teachers need to be an hourly job, period. Stop. Stop with the pensions. Stop with the lifetime tenures. How about they earn fucking a contract like these athletes? What other job can you call somebody in the morning and have them do your fucking job that day? I'll wait. I know everybody watches who's not a teacher with a real job. They can't just call a random person in the morning and they can just pop in and do your same job that day. I'm talking about substitutes, if you haven't figured that out yet. Substitute teachers, where some random person just comes in and does your job with zero notice. No other industry does that happen in. Embarrassing. And we have to hear about heroes and, oh, we're underpaid. Get fucked. I want a movement. Let's make teaching hourly job. Let's get some real fucking teachers that aren't tenured so they actually have to do something. Please. Anyway, teachers are like running backs. All right? I guess there's... I'm just throwing that out there. Anyway, so yes, teachers are a fake job. Running backs need to shut their mouth. And if you want more money, make the league about running again. Be good enough where you're undeniable and they have to make the league about running. Okay? Let me finish up with the Jets. And then we're going to go around the league with all the picks for week one starting tonight. So a couple other things I didn't like watching Hard Knocks. First of all, I know it's hack to say at this point, didn't love that they were on it. It's always a curse. Maybe that ties into my Aaron Rodgers prediction of his season-ending injury impending. Right off the bat, didn't like they were on it. The Jets, as you heard from Aaron Rodgers before they started, wasn't happy they were on it. But the Jets are the sexy team as far as ESPN and HBO and NFL, all these money-grubbing pieces of shit are concerned. So obviously they wanted the Jets. They're the sexiest, probably the sexiest team going into the season besides the Chiefs. There were a few things that rubbed me the wrong way. I don't love our head coach, Robert Saleh. I don't love his eternal optimism. There's something about it that just rubs me the wrong way. Too many smiles, too on the dicks of his own players. And I coached, again, I've basically been there. I coached high school lacrosse for 8+ years. at the varsity level. So I know what it's like dealing with top tier athletes. And of course, you have to support them. But the constant dick sucking of his own team, I never liked that coaching style. I like the type of coach, the old school coach, who's going to make you earn his love, who's going to make you scratch and claw just for the head coach to say one good little thing about you. Maybe all season your coach won't tell you. The Bill Parcells type, where you would kill, you'd run through a fucking wall just so he might say a quick, nice job. You know what I'm saying? So if you watch Hard Knocks, you know what I'm saying. Robert Saleh, the smile. I feel like, in my opinion, the other side of the optimism, there's a softness to that optimism. Because what happens when this shit hits the fan? What happens when you can't be out? If you're Mr. Optimism all the time and the shit hits the fan, then all of a sudden you can't be optimistic. That's when you lose players, right? Because you're like, oh, this guy's always going to support me. This guy's great. When you're losing, you get if these Jets have a 2 or 3 game losing streak when we're supposed to be on the top teams in the league, now how do you be an optimistic coach? And I understand you do all this. So, and again, I don't have a great fucking, I'm not doing a thesis paper on this. I'm just saying me personally, it rubbed me the wrong way a bit. There's something about Saleh that rubs me the wrong way. Maybe you guys can put it more eloquently than I, but there's something about Saleh that rubs me the wrong way. He's young. Yeah, I like to see more old school, a little bit more old school, a little meaner to the players, please. We don't need to celebrate every little fucking thing they do. Please, please. Like I keep saying, these guys are already, all the guys in the league today, and it's been this way for a couple decades, basically. All these guys in the league today haven't had a hardship since they were 15. That's just a fact, okay? They've been the best, they've been the best on all their teams, all the teachers, all the chicks, all the social whatever. They're at the top of the list since they were, since, you know, middle school or so. So they don't even, most of these guys have only had coaches that have sucked their cocks their whole careers, right? When you get to the NFL, I would hope you get a coach that puts you in your fucking place. I'm looking at you, Elijah Moore, and Sauce Gardner, and Quinnen Williams, and all these young guys. I would like to see a coach that puts them in their place and doesn't just keep stroking their fat black cocks. And I can say that because I'm half Sicilian and I got a fat cock. Anywho, I don't like all the fucking, and I said it before, so I'm not going to say this quickly. Every player needs a fucking secret hand, a special handshake. Like, is anybody an adult in this league anymore? God, it's insufferable to watch. I know I sound like I'm 80, but I just know sports. Like I said, I want to beat not only the team, I want to beat my fucking teammates. That's what winners do. You want to be the best person on the field on both sides of the ball. That's what real competitors do. That's how you become an All-American athlete like me. That's how you become a Pro Bowler. That's how all the greats do it. Talk to anybody about the greats. All they want to do is outwork everybody and bury everyone else, teammates or otherwise. Yeah. I'll just say, yeah, I do. I mean, if the Roger, back on the positive, if the Rodgers to Moore connection holds up, and Breece Hall is who he was before he got injured, and the defense can just be who they were last year. The only reason they fell in some rankings, they were still in the top three in most important categories last year, and that was with being on the field the entire time, because like I told you before we drafted him, Zach Wilson was never an NFL starting quarterback and never will be. Rack me, Stancil Stradamus. I'm never wrong. We're gonna get to the picks are up next, folks. I'm gonna go through the comments. You've all been very patient. Nobody has super chatted, so you don't get them read immediately in case you missed it. The rule this year will be, since I grew up on Mike and the Mad Dog and I like an interactive show, any super chats will be read and answered immediately. Questions and any regular chats will be read as I deem fit. So let's catch up on the, I'm logging into my DraftKings to get the spreads, folks. Don't worry. Let me get caught up on our little chat here. I'm gonna put money in my account right now because I'm a man of my fucking word. And I'm actually gonna place these bets. I like how DraftKings, they recommend. Is this hilarious or is this hilarious? The recommended. I like how they make the recommended deposit $250. Hilarious. I'm putting in $20. But I love how they do that. That's hilarious. All right, let's go to the top. Let's go to the top. Like I said, I know we're competing with like 9 other shows. This is the only time I could do it. I'm getting on a plane in the morning. I got work tonight. I'll be in California this weekend. Anybody there? Nobody in Northern Cali, hit me up. Bo Archer, pathetic tiny Sansel. Great way to start. Yep. Just backing me up. As I said, to start, if you missed the start of the show, I covered how I was absolutely right about the Mets in episode 49 back in February. Ski Mask Media, our fearless leader, total waste as Verlander is back in Houston. Horrific call by the Mets. Yeah, good for Verlander. He dates that fat pig, Kate Upton, who I've never found attractive. She's a fat, disgusting pig. Put down the fork. Kate, please, you're disgusting. You look like a pig. Her face literally looks like a pig, and she's very fat. I never cared for Kate Upton. And I'm again, you're only guaranteed to be read if you super chat. None of you did, so I don't give a fuck about any of you. Christy McMurdy said a while ago, fins up. Speaking of the Dolphins, of course. Yeah, Dolphins are a fun team, I'll admit. I look forward to watching the Dolphins. They were fun to watch last year. Yeah, I'll talk about them a little more when we get to their pick. Brian Kowalczyk, my Polish brother. Ronnie looking good. Batty Senga Alvarez. Yeah, Brian is talking about the Mets young guys. Thank you, Brian. I actually had that on my list, and I never actually got to it. So real quick, yes, please let the young players play. Exactly. Good call, Brian. That's why he's Polish. Who said Polish people are dumb? We're smart. I'm smart. Yeah. I mean, he pretty much said it. The young baddie looks great. Alvarez is going to be a career Met. And Senga, our resident Slope, is also looking great. That's not a slur. I'm half Japanese. Yeah, again, my fear. Same as with Alonso. Alvarez is an all-star catcher. Or he will be. But is he going to be like Alonso? Is he going to be like DeGrom, where he wastes his whole career on our shitty Mets organization? Like I said about Alonso, at this point, I hope for his sake he's traded. He's already probably wasted the best years of his career on our piece of shit team. I wish him luck. As Ray DeVito would say, I wish him well. Tommy says, good luck to Dave Landau tonight. That's a tip of the cap to Detroit. Ski Mask Media, and I encourage everyone else to do this with me. I'm going to do it. Let's all do it together. Ski Mask Media going to be placing a parlay based on Stancil's picks. Let's all do it, and then you can tell me what a piece of shit I am. Girth Brooks, I'll put it up. I don't know if you meant this as a slight, but Girth Brooks, 20 minutes until King Kevin Brennan coming up at 4. Absolutely. I'm about to hit the nail right on the head with timing. That's not by accident. We did Ski Mask Collective before this. Check that out later. We got Sports Mask now. We got the King coming up off of a day off. Kevin Brennan coming up at 4. After that, we have the return of Sad Chad with Ski Mask and Stevie directly following an MLC. And then if you didn't watch Ski Mask earlier, put that in your pipe and smoke it right after that. Put it on in the background. Put the TV on mute. Put on Ski Mask Collective from earlier today. And the rest of your day is set. There you go, folks. By the way, that's a hot tip in general. Almost all sports now I will watch on mute and listen to a podcast or a show on the side. If you listen to these mongoloid announcers, frankly, you're an idiot. Join FanDuel. We both get a $50 free bet from Ski Mask, and I'm not going to do that. Well, I'll read it because you said it, but I certainly don't believe it's true. Heard it here first, Stansel. G-Men, Super Bowl winner, Daniel Jones MVP, Barry Watson. All right, Barry, you're on the board. Noted. This is episode 50, so you can refer back to this if that happens. They'll be lucky to make the playoffs. The Giants will be lucky to make the playoffs. All right. It's that time, folks. Get out your fucking... get out your favorite betting app. I'll give you a minute to get out your favorite betting app. Because it's about that time. And when you hear the music, you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about if you watch this show. Just make sure. Un-fucking... believable. You know what the music means, folks. Season 3 of Sports Mass Collective, episode 50. We're fucking back. We're gonna go all the picks for week 1 of the NFL with Stansel. We're do it as we always do it. We call it with the spread. Here we fucking go. Join me. Join Ski Mask. Hold on. I'm a man of my word. The first super chat of the 2023 season just came across the board. And I told you for this show, super chats get read immediately. And other chats will be read when I feel like it. Bon Levy, $4.99, the first super chat of the 2023 season. So is there no beer and shot involved here? Not for this one. I assure you, in coming shows, probably even for week 2, there will be drinking involved. On that note, White Julio, scheduled as a guest, fan favorite, he'll be back. The infamous Bowtie Bartender, multiple time winner of the best bartender in Stanford, he'll be back in the coming weeks. They both wanted to be on this week. So did Ski Mask. I told them all to go fuck themselves. Because I got enough to say, and I did it. I'm already doing way more time than I thought I would do. The music is on. The picks are coming. Week 1, 2020 fucking 3. Here we fucking go. Tonight at 8:20 p.m. o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The time of our Lord and Savior, frankly. Detroit Lions at Kansas City Chiefs. The Lions are getting 4.5. Kelsey is out. That line moved 3 points since last week. They're begging you to take the Lions. Part of me wants to take the Lions. Part of you should too. No part of us should ever actually take the Lions. Patrick Mahomes, Pacheco, all the other fucking tools they have at home coming off a Super Bowl win. I think I saw a Super Bowl champ since whatever, have been 14-1 in week 1 since whatever year. I don't do math. So without further ado, nothing else needs to be said. It's going to be the Chiefs minus 4.5. The over-under there is 53.5. I'm probably going to leave that alone. But we got the Chiefs minus 4.5 week 1 to start off the year of the greatest. Say what you want about the NFL, and I have a lot to say about Goodell and what they do, but it is absolutely the best product as far as drama, as far as take out all the commercials. I understand. I told you the hack for doing that. Start the games at 2:30 or 3 o'clock on Sundays, and you could skip most of the commercials for the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games. There's your free Stansel pro tip. But it is the best product in all of sports. Period, stop, the NFL, the best on-field product in sports. All right, here we go. Sunday, we got a 1 o'clock game. We got the Niners at the Steelers. Steelers are getting 2 points at home. I'm loving the Niners here. I'm loving the Niners minus 2. The Niners have some weapons. The Niners have a defense. And you might have heard it here first, folks. The Niners also do have a quarterback, which I'm not so sure of in Steelers. I like the Steelers, too. We'll talk about them in weeks to come. I like the Pickett to Pickens connection. But I like the Niners. Minus two. That's not even a field goal. On the road against the Steelers. Take that. Niners minus two. We got the Texans at the Ravens. Ravens minus 9.5. Ravens favored by 9.5. The over-under there is 44. This is one of those games. Obviously, the Ravens are going to win. But this is one of those games. Week one game. Give me the Texans plus 9.5. Give me the Texans plus 9.5. Basically, this is week one of the pro season, of the preseason. The preseason is worthless now. None of the starters play. So weeks one through three or four of the NFL are always messy as hell. There's always these kind of upsets. Don't be surprised if the Texans win straight up here. And I'm not even kidding. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. Not that I'm a big fan of the Texans in any way. I'm trusting my gut here. I do think the Ravens will win, although I won't be surprised if this is that upset. There's always going to be an upset in week one. So give me the Texans plus the 9.5. That's a lot of points for week one where neither team has been on the field. All right, next game, we got the Bucks at the Vikings. The Bucks at the Vikings. Vikings minus 5.5. The Dalvin Cookless Vikings and the Bradyless Bucks going into Minnesota. Frankly, this game doesn't give me even a chub. This is a very boring game for me. I find even the Texans-Ravens game to be more interesting just because of that possibility of an upset. This might be an interesting game later in the season. To start the year, this game doesn't get me excited in the least. I don't care about this game at all. I really don't give a fuck about this game. I'm going to take the Buccaneers and the 5.5 just because they're getting 5.5. And that's what kind of expert analysis you get on Sports Mass Collective, okay? Jags at Colts. Interesting game here. I probably won't be able to watch this game, but this is a game if I was sitting around on my fat ass at my house like a lot of you pieces of shit will be. This is a game I'd be very interested in. Got Richardson, the new quarterback of the Colts, who Stanislas Radamus will have a much better career. Not only career, not only year than Bryce Young, he'll have a better career. Anthony Richardson will than Bryce Young. Bryce Young, again, one of these coddled guys, Alabama guy, throwing to pro NFL players his whole career. Short. Although college football does suck because there's never upsets aside from like five games a year, I did watch a few of his games. I don't think he's going to succeed in the NFL. I'm talking about Bryce Young. So I think Anthony Richardson is going to be the best quarterback to come out of this class. If you allow yourself to rewind, what Trevor Lawrence did at the end of the season and the playoffs last year, he came into his own. It can't be, frankly, I don't think it can be overstated enough what Trevor Lawrence did at the end of last year. I think he is the truth. He proved that to me then. I always thought he was good. He proved to me he's the truth and a top five quarterback at the end of last year. They're only minus five. They're on the road against the Colts in a rookie quarterback's first game. Give me the Jags minus five there. And that might not even be... I'll put it this way. That's close to a lock of the week, it being almost minus five. Let's put it that way. All right, next game. Bengals at the Browns. Bengals at the Browns. Burrow is up in the air. The Browns, that rapist or whatever he is, Deshaun Watson, who got paid way too much money, had a full off season with the Browns and a preseason. These guys, when they get into trouble, they try to be all buttoned up afterwards and do the right thing. So while I don't like Deshaun Watson, I do think he's going to have a decent year. I don't think his ceiling is that high to begin with, so he'll never be anything great. But they have Nick Chubb. They have a few. They have a decent tight end there. I'm an everyman. Mike Friend says I'm not gonna plan to know this is my life. I don't make enough money to make this my life or to know all these players. And the Browns are getting points at home. I'm loving the Browns here with the points at home. If Burrow plays, he'll be a bit hobbled, or at least he will wouldn't have played a snap in preseason. Give me the Browns and the points. That might be a controversial pick. Sorry, so thorough, Joe Burrow. I love Joe Burrow. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks, Joe Cool. But this isn't about favorites. We can't have homers here, folks. Okay, we can't do it. We tell it like it is here at Ski Mask Media and at Sports Mask Collective. Sorry. The Titans at the Saints. Another very boring game. The Saints -3. I couldn't give a fuck about this game. Is Tannehill the quarterback of the Titans? I don't know who the quarterback of the Saints even is. Kamara's out. Derrick Henry's old. This game sucks. This is going to be the game that fucks up our parlay, but we got to pick it, right? Fuck it. Saints at home, -3. That's a field goal. There's no hook. I'm going Saints -3. Who cares? Over under 41. Pounding the over. Pounding the over there, folks. All right. Cardinals at Commanders. Cardinals getting 7 on the road. We'll see what happens with the season. If either of these teams get any more interesting, as it is, I'm taking the Cardinals in the touchdown. Let's get through that one quick. Period. Stop. Cardinals getting a touchdown. I'm not saying they'll win, but they're getting a touchdown. Both these teams bore me to start the year. I do think the Commanders have a higher upside. I think Kyler Murray is too short, and it looks like he also has fetal alcohol syndrome and won't survive in the NFL much longer. But it's the first of the year. Over under there, folks. By the way, 38. No defense will be played. I'm pounding the over there. All right. We're still in the 1 o'clock game because there's only a couple 4 o'clock games. Panthers at Falcons. Panthers rolling out Bryce Young, who I told you, I'm not saying he'll stink, but he will not be good in the NFL. He'll be a Kyler Murray type. That's exactly, I just thought of it, but that's exactly right. I'm a genius. Yeah, Bryce Young's going to be Kyler Murray 2.0. That being said, they're at the Falcons, who also stink. Let's have some fun. Let's say, I have a feeling, I have a little gut tells me Bryce Young's going to have a little bit of a, you know, he'll have a coming out party week one against a lowly Falcons team. Give me the Panthers and a 3 and a hook. The hook helps there, picking the Panthers. All right, 4 o'clock game. Eagles at Patriots. Eagles -4. This is Jim Stansel's lock of the week. I don't give a shit. The Patriots at home. Don't give a shit at all. Eagles are a top 3 NFL team. Endless weapons. Add DeAndre Swift to that list this year. Add one of the best running backs who plays quarterback for them in Jalen Hurts. Add a decent defense with one of the best players in the league with what's his name. Add to it that Bill Belichick has been exposed since Tom Brady left as just being a normal good coach and not an all-time great coach. Eagles, an easy -4, and that is Jim Stansel's mortal lock of the week in Foxborough. Fun game here, Sunday 4:25. I hope and think this is the national game. Dolphins at the Chargers. Dolphins +3. A lot of people saying Herbert is due for a career year. I like the Chargers. I like Herbert. But I say nay. Nay, 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 nay. The Chargers are similar to the Jets, where the Chargers are going to Charger and the Jets are going to Jets. Sorry, Geno. Sorry, Geno's lawyers. You add to that all the weapons on the Dolphins and the fact that they're getting 3 points. Give me the Dolphins, folks. Give me the Dolphins plus +3 in L.A., I guess. The Chargers, right? 4 o'clock. Let's just get through these here. The Rodgerless Packers at the Bears. It's basically a pick 'em. It's Bears minus -1. I've had my ear to the streets and my cock on the pulse. There's a lot of rumblings that Jordan Love is the truth in Green Bay. Be interesting to see. I also, if you've watched the show in years past, you'll know I think Justin Fields is a failure and a frog. And look, I'm just literally looks like a frog. And I don't think they'll achieve much with him. I think he's similar again to a Kyler Murray, where you've seen what he can do and that's about it. He's too small and he's, frankly, he's low IQ. And the Packers are getting a point to boot. Not that it matters. It's a pick 'em. Give me the Packers plus +1 there at Soldier Field. Sorry, Kelly. Sorry, Kelly's lawyers. Get me to 2,000 followers by next week. Maybe I'll pick your Bears next week. Rams at Seahawks. Rams getting 5.5 against Seattle in Seattle. I understand Seattle, tough place to play. I said it all last year. I watched Geno Smith as a Jet. I know he was comeback player of the year. I'll also tell you, I know who Geno Smith is. He had an outlier of a year with great weapons. He will not duplicate what he did in years past. Sorry, Cal Steve. The great Cal Steve, I know, is a Seattle fan. Yeah, Geno Smith comes crashing back down to earth this year, starting against a Rams team who also have some weapons. Give me the Rams also getting 5.5 on the road. Not traveling far, L.A. to Seattle. Give me the Rams plus 5.5 in Seattle against the gay 12th man, where it's just a bunch of screaming whites with fake crowd noise pumped in. Raiders at the Broncos. Can Russell Wilson bounce back? You heard it here first. The answer, yes. Absolutely, yes. That was one of the worst, not only displays by a quarterback, but displays by any NFL team last year in Denver. Anything that could go wrong did go wrong. There's no way Sean Payton would let that happen. There's just no way possible Denver could be worse than last year. Up until last year, Russell Wilson was arguably a Hall of Fame quarterback. They're going to bounce back. They're at home. New coach. The fan base is going to be excited. They've been talking all offseason about they're going to come back and let's ride and all that jazz. Broncos minus -3.5. Give me the Broncos. Russell Wilson. You heard it here, folks. First, put in the bet on your favorite betting app if you can. This podcast is sponsored by DraftKings ourselves, but whatever app you use, put it in the books. RackMe, Stancil Zerdamas, Russell Wilson, comeback player of the year. And that's an easy comeback player of the year. He's a Hall of Fame player. Cowboys at the Giants. Cowboys minus -3.5. Giants haven't beat the Cowboys in, I think, 13 straight meetings. I'm not high on the Giants, but I also, those stats like that, it's got to end sometime. Giants at home, Sunday night game. This is your Sunday night conference game. Cowboys at Giants. Eckler gone. I know everybody's on Tony Pollard's cock, who is a good player, but so is Saquon Barkley. I don't totally believe in Daniel Jones. He's their second running back in New York. At home, getting points, and the point is a field goal and a hook. So I'm going to go Giants here to break the streak of losing the Cowboys and to win at home Sunday night. Saquon back and supposedly healthy. Let's see what happens. Coach of the year in Steve Dable, whatever the fuck his name is there. And here we fucking go. The last pick, the Buffalo Bills against your and my New York Football Jets. Monday night, kick off the Monday night season, 8:20, live from where all the WAP dead bodies are buried in the Meadowlands. We got the Bills and the Jets. The Jets are getting 2.5. Everything in your soul is telling you to bet the Bills -2.5. That's less than a field goal, and the Jets getting 2.5. But we're going Jets and the 2.5 because, again, this is another typical Jets and Mets thing, frankly. They're going to come out, and they're going to look like everything everyone thought they would be. Put down Elijah Moore for a couple TDs. Put down Breece Hall for 80 if he plays. But put the running backs down for 80 for 100 plus yards between them. Put A-Rod down for 250 plus and 3 plus passing TDs. You know what I'm saying? The Jets are going to come out Monday night, all the swag in the world. Veteran Hall of Fame QB leading them to keep them in check. The only thing I worry about here, as I said when I was wrapping up the Jets, is all that swagger, all that bluster, all that shit, all the optimism from the coach. If the Bills go up by a couple touchdowns early, watch out. Watch out. Because that's when it gets dangerous. All this bluster, all the hard knocks. Leading off every sports center, leading off every sports show, A-Rod and the Jets, A-Rod and the Jets, all offseason. When will he sign? When will he sign? You come out and you let the Bulls go up, you know, 21-10, 17-3, something like that. I'm going to be very curious to see how this team comes back. And I think we all should be. And I think that's why we all watch. And that's why we all watch Sports Mass Collective. Many of you hung on. I know we were going against many shows today, and it was short notice on top of that. Thank you, everybody, for watching week one. I'm about to put that parlay in. I'll put it in while we go off the air. Right now, I added some over-unders. So let's see. I'm putting in $1. Ready for this? $1. If you did all my picks plus my over-unders, $1 pays out $43,059. Folks, the bet has been placed. That's the receipt. Let's make $40,000 together this weekend. Keep an eye on Ski Mass Media. I'll be in Northern California this weekend. I'll do a live at some point. The best sport in America, which makes it the best sport in the world, starting this Sunday, Sports Mass Collective is back. You're all American. Your resident all American is back. I wouldn't leave you. Welcome back, folks. We'll see you next week with one of our guests. I love you all. God bless America. Never forget. Fuck the terrorists. 9/11 was an inside job. Have a good weekend, everyone. Let's go sports.